Blog Talk Radio.
Monday night on the Barbecue Superstars radio show, Killer Bees Barbecue. We officially ended the season third in the country, but I don't want to wait anymore. We have the Team of the Year in KCBS. Tim Grant with Board App should be calling in. And we've befriended these guys out, and he's been on the show several times. So I think some people might be tired of hearing it, listen to him, but people, when you're the Team of the Year, I mean, it's just phenomenal, almost in a record-setting fashion. And then to be tied at the end, I mean, it's just a nail-biter up in Calhoun, Georgia this past weekend, and Truebutt came through at the end. So we're going to call, let him talk right now and see what's going. Hey, Tim.
What's on,
Jim? How you doing, buddy? Hey, man.
Oh, doing okay.
Glad you made
how
home safe. So y'all made it home safe and everything, I'm glad to see.
Yeah, it was a heck of a trip coming back. It was actually worse going down than it was coming back, but, you know, it still was not something you want to drive in every day when you got to go so far, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of the things that you have to do when you're going for Team of the Year. You know, Randall Bowman up there in Calhoun put it the best. He said, in his opinion, actually my opinion too now, if you want to win Team of the Year, then you're going to have to go through Georgia. You know, it's a tough state. It's for the Midwest teams, it's not really easy to get here. But the other thing is too is, you know, we've got so many big contests at the end of the year that can either make or break you right at the end.
Yeah.
And you know, one in Florida kind of got you and tied y'all up, and then it was pretty much nail biter from there. I don't think you got a whole lot of sleep the next couple weeks, did you?
No, it wasn't restful a couple weeks, that's for sure. But I slept like a baby last night, so hopefully a few weeks, you know, I can settle down and let it start to sink in. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, how does it feel to be Team of the Year? I mean, has it really sunk in yet, or are you just now start to realize what's going on? Or because, you know,
no,
I mean,
think
we discussed.
It's definitely something that's going to be continue to sink in. You know, it's just kind of the amount of people that, you know, I've talked to and you know, just over the last couple of days and you know, it's definitely a long road to get to this accomplishment, that's for sure. Boyd and I were talking about, is Boyd on here yet, or is he?
He got a 785 number?
Yep.
That's him. Boyd, you're on the air too, buddy.
Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Boyd. Did you have to drive the whole way back, or did Tim take a shift?
Well, Tim drove that evening, and then I drove the rest of the way the next day.
Well, that's not too bad. At least he pitched it.
And don't let that fool you, Jim, because he gets behind the wheel and he won't let me in there. So, I mean, it's, you know, he likes to drive, so it ain't that big of a deal. But, you know, what I was saying was Boyd and I were figuring up some of our stats, and, you know, we were in, do you have them in front of you, Boyd? It'd be good to kind of just go over those.
Yeah, I know everybody wants to know.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Boyd.
I was just saying everybody wants to know.
I don't have everything in front of me, but I believe we had I know mileage-wise, we drove about 21,000 miles this year just to and from contests.
Here, I'll bring up the stat sheet, Jim, and tell you some of the stats because they were pretty. It was pretty cool just to kind of see. Won't take me but 2 seconds here, but we kind of looked at what we had top 10 and how many contests, how many miles, and you know, everyone knows we had 16 wins and 7 GCs, and I think it was 37 contests that weren't invitationals, so that's what counted toward points.
Right.
But, you know, it was definitely a fun year.
Y'all had a record-setting year. I mean, to take 3 out of the 4 categories on your way to the team of the year, you know, it was phenomenal, too. I mean, y'all done something 1 year that teams have never done before. And, you know, and y'all did it up against some tough competition. I mean, you know, you've weathered the storm and came out on top. You know, Donnie Bray from One County Pork Choppers, love him like a brother. He gave you everything he had. And, you know, he told me up there in Calhoun, and he said, if I had to lose, I'd rather lose somewhere at 16 GCs, because he said it's a record-setting year. And he said, you know, ain't nothing to be ashamed of. I said, man, that's just phenomenal what he did. I mean, back as he did. And, I mean, he was, you know, in the last contest in Calhoun, he wasn't against True Blood. He was against 65 other teams. And,
right.
You know, which is big burden, but y'all went head-to-head again, and in Georgia, and like I said, in Georgia, anything can happen, and he didn't fare as well. He still had a good showing, and, you know, you pulled out on top, and I think you were hiding behind a tree or something, because I didn't see you. I could see Boyd at awards, and I think you were hiding behind a tree. I didn't see you until like right at a Department of Calling Overalls. I saw you walk out from somewhere.
Yeah, I wasn't too close to the stage, I'll tell you that. But I didn't see Donnie either. I don't know where he was at, but I was telling Donnie, you know, it's unfortunate that we were both in this. You know, we had the kind of year that we did, both in the same year, because I will be very surprised. You know, there's only one team that's ever scored more than 29.40. And that was 29.42, and, you know, I would have never guessed it would take 29.40 to win. And when you have a year like that, I mean, you know, I could pretty much count you're going to win every year. So, I mean, it's just unfortunate for Donnie to have that the same year we did. And you know, because it would have been that, you know, he has that year next year, he's going to win it, you know, just as much. So, you know, I guess that's just the disappointing factor. I had these stats. You know, we were looking at how many states we competed in. We competed in 14 different states. Boyd said we drove about 21,000 miles. We had 3 180 scores. We were in the 700 club 5 times. We had 22 first place finishes. And in the top 10 calls, we had 114 top 10 calls. So, I didn't really figure up out of how many, but it wasn't, we hardly, I think we had 5 in chicken, maybe 7 in ribs, and about the same in pork and brisket that were out of the top 10. But, you know, it was one of those years that, you know, we just had a great time, and, you know, everything was clicking. So it's, you know, it's something we'll remember for a long time, that's for sure.
Well, you know, a lot of people have said in the past, that they don't get out and talk a whole lot and all this other stuff. And I mean, you know, and there's several pit masters like that. And I think with you and Boyd, you know, I know in my opinion, Boyd's a little more outgoing with the other people. But the people got to realize you almost got to get to know these guys. I mean, they're great guys. You know, Tim came over. He we made first contact at Sam's Pub. And then we're beside them over there at Jack Daniels. And, I mean, they've been up hospitable and nice to us. And you had a really good time at the Jack Daniels. And, you know, then this one here, you know, we spent some time with Tim. And I got to take you around and introduce some of our some of my buddies and teams around here. And some of them you knew, some of them you knew of. And, you know, showed you a little Georgia Southern hospitality on Friday night of how we roll down here in Georgia. And, you gotta admit, it was a little impressive to see all those people come out.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time down there. We don't normally have that kind of setting back in the Midwest, so we socialize with teams, but it's, you know, we'll usually go out on a Friday night, you know, out to dinner with other teams, but we don't get there on Thursday, you know, and hang out. Most teams don't get there till late on Friday. So, and then we don't stay Saturday nights either. Everybody, it's a ghost town, you know, 30 minutes after awards.
Well, that's a big thing for us. You know, it was like that when we first started. And then, you know, some teams in North Carolina doing some potlucks, some teams in Georgia, finally we just started all getting together. And I mean, up in Tryon, we probably had 100, 150 people at our potluck up on there on Friday night. And, I mean, it's just, as you can see, the spread of food, if we had another 10, it would have been spread out even more because we were alternating food as it was coming in. But you know, we probably had 80 or 90 people up there at that potluck dinner. And, I mean, it just starts off with one Facebook post. All right, what are we doing for potluck on Friday night? Next thing you know, I'm bringing this, I'm bringing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And it's just a whirlwind. And, you know, not everybody brings stuff, which is fine, because there's going to be some contests we're not going to be able to bring stuff or we're running late or something. But, you know, there's so much food, and that's the big part that me and Jan like about doing these contests is to get out and see friends, meet new ones, you know. And everybody I talk to, man, that they like y'all so much. They say, man, they just fit right in. And, you know, a lot of them hope to see y'all around Georgia a little bit more. And I know y'all want to stay in your little neck of the woods, but it's good to get out of your comfort zone every now and then, I believe.
Well, you know, we travel, but we just don't get south. I mean, you know, so, I mean, that's it's a lot easier to, you know, there's so many contests up here. I mean, you know, it's the Florida and the Georgia contest, you know, that's quite a bit of a distance compared to, like, you know, Arkansas or, you know, even going north to Minnesota or over to Colorado. But, you know, you get down to Georgia and then head on into Florida. I mean, you know, you're talking about a day on the road. So, I mean, you know, we had a great time down there. There was a lot of Florida teams, you know, we met that were really cool. And being in Georgia and meeting all you guys and you know, we really enjoyed it, that's for sure. But, you know, we also can't get to the contest on Thursday nights like you Georgia folks can, so.
That's part of our vacation, Danny. You know, we got to go on Thursday nights. You know, get everything set up on Thursday and hang out a little bit, and then Friday, you know, you get your meets done. And it's kind of funny because I was in there doing the meet, and you were sitting outside talking to Bubba. And you're like, what the hell are you doing in there? We've been out here for an hour. So that's when I prepped my meet. And you're like, we don't start until 3 o'clock. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, a little bit different setup.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I thought, you know, we always trim our meat before we go to a contest, but, you know,
right.
We don't season our meat until, you know, in the afternoon. So, you know, I guess a lot of people do wait to the contest to get there to, you know, trim their stuff, but it's just, you know, we like to get that out of the way before we even leave the house, so.
I mean, I trimmed all of mine. I was having a I was having to make my sauces and injections and stuff. That's why it took me so long Friday morning. But everything was trimmed. I always do that, too, because it's just easier for me to do it at the house and not destroy the whole trailer. Like, you only have to worry about destroying half the trailer. But, but you know, like I said, we like to see our friends and visit with our friends, especially on Friday night, and see what's going on. And, you know, it depends on what time awards are, whether we want to try to race back home or, you know, just take it easy and get up in the morning and go. We just try to find out who's going to stay. And the whole row where I was at, I think Donnie left because they were expecting snow or something where he was at. And, you know, the rest of the row pretty much stayed the night, and which was nice. Yeah. Some of the guys had a different kind of throwdown up there. But we had a good time visiting with them. I mean, it's the last contest of the year for us, and I know for y'all, too. And I know y'all are looking forward to the banquet. And what's next for True Blood? I mean, y'all weathered the storm, had a record-setting year. You know, all the 700s and 180s, I mean, it's just a phenomenal year for you guys. And, you know, in my opinion, there's nowhere to go but down, but that's just me.
a little relaxation and downtime.
Yeah, we're actually we got some things in the works. I mean, we're gonna have some fun, like Boyd said. We're gonna head to the awards, and you know, wherever we go, we like to have fun, you know, and in style. So we got some plans headed to the award ceremony, and then I think we're gonna try to do something as a group come 1st of February. You know, we may. Right now, I think we're talking about doing a cruise together. So, you know, all of us. So it'll be, you know, the wives and the guys. So that's going to be fun. And then, you know, I know, you know, don't let Boyd fool you. He'll be chopping at the bit to hit back on the road at least in 2 or 3 weeks. So, heck, we even looked at the 2014 schedule on the way back. So, you know, we'll figure something out and. You know, you definitely, you know, we talked about maybe doing about 20 next year or something like that. So we'll see what happens.
Well, y'all
20,
got
20.
But 20? What, before August?
I said 20 will seem like nothing.
I know. It'd be like, what are we going to do in between?
Well, I just meant 20. I didn't finish my sentence. 20 before August. Isn't that right, Boyd?
That's the spirit. So, yeah, you know, everybody talks about, well, I'm going to cut back. And Jan and I, we did like 29 last year. And, you know, some of them were not KCBS. We did about 21, 22 KCBS. And I was doing it. It's kind of funny because I was doing the schedule, and she comes in there and she says, well, let me check that thing out. She comes in and gets on the computer. She goes, what about this one? What about that one? Well, what about this one? I had fun. We got to do that. We got to do that. Next thing you know, we're doing 33. I'm like, okay, I'm glad we cut back. But,
yeah.
You know, someone's just so close to the house, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump over there, and, you know, something to do on the weekends. It's like she said, well, now this is what we're going to do for the next 6 weekends or whatever. And, you know, of course, two of them are banquets coming up. We got the KCBS banquet, and then we have a Georgia Barbecue Championship Series banquet coming up in February. So, well, we'll be at both of those. That takes up a couple weekends, and... So, y'all going to be like the crab guys on TV and go on a cruise together and, you know, go fishing and we'll go drinking and hopefully a fishing contest will break out, or what's going on with that?
We'll figure out something to do. I know we're gonna have fun doing something. So we're just kind of in the planning phases to try to figure that out.
Well, Boyd, I'm gonna give you a little word of advice. Make sure you take some stabilizer, Jax. That's all I'm gonna say.
I will do that. Your wife helped me get through awards this weekend, so I'm in debt to her.
Well, she's listening, so she'll be one of the few times she ever listens to the show, but she's on another line listening. So, she had a great time with y'all. she had a great time with y'all, and it was a lot of fun, really and truthfully. And she's
yeah, Christy was wishing she could have came to hang out a little bit, but I ended up bringing that. She likes Bloody Marys, so I gave her that little bottle that Jan gave us. So we'll have to try that out at some point in time.
That's good stuff. It's really good stuff. Yeah, we kind of missed her on this one. You know, like I said, she likes Bloody Marys in the morning and stuff. And, you know, y'all bringing them over to Jan. I don't drink them, but y'all bringing them over to Jan at the Jack and everything. She appreciated that. But, you know, y'all were just, I just can't imagine what y'all going through at awards, you know. And I know, like I said, Boyd was nervous. I mean, I can't believe how bad he was shaking, even though that's a normal condition for Boyd. But the little medicine drinks that Jan made him, they sure did calm him down in a hurry.
Well, I needed something. I was pretty calm the whole weekend, and then once we turned everything in and started cleaning up, that's when I started getting nervous. And you know, I was telling my wife that, you know, I could have just sat back at the trailer and somebody could have texted me the results, because I was getting kind of nervous. But your wife took care of that, so I was good to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't look real nervous at awards. You were kind of standing out there. I think Tim was still at the trailer. But, I mean, because you're out there standing out there in the road and stuff, looking around, look like you're smiling. And, you know, we're sitting in our group by the fire. And, you know, I didn't see Tim anywhere. I mean, I don't know where he was at. And I probably never would know where he was at. But then, you know, like I said, when they start to call out top 10, he kind of came out of the shadows. But I'm really happy for you. You know, everybody kind of wanted, you know, whoever wins it needs to, you know, at least do better in the competition, so it's not, you know, falling back. And I mean, that's what y'all did. I mean, y'all came to win it. Y'all got reserve grand, and, you know, you did what you had to do. You stayed focused and everything, even though I try to, I guess when I get in there, I kind of loosen y'all up a little bit. I don't know. Don't want to get you off the game, but, you know, we have a good time. And, you know, I was just trying to loosen y'all up so y'all won't be so damn nervous y'all have a heart attack on us or something. But so what's in the works for True Bud now? Y'all going to do a class anytime soon? Are y'all thinking about it? Or, you know, because a lot of people are going to want to know if True Bud is going to do a class. And, you know, I can hook you up here in Augusta if you want a venue to do it at. But, you know, that's just, you know, just saying.
Is that at the Masters Clubhouse? Because if that's the case, we might do one. But
might do one the first full week in April.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'd be all for that.
I bet you would. That'd be a perfect time. See, I can hook you up here at AB Beverage and, you know, hook you up with a spot, maybe find a couple practice tickets laying around and, you know, do it all in one shot, give you a reason. But
yeah, we don't, we don't have anything to announce right now. So, I mean, there's nothing, you know, I know there's lots of people asking questions, but, you know, we're just trying to figure some things out. We don't, I'm not sure what we're going to do as far as the class right now.
Yep. So y'all, I know y'all said y'all looking at more at the contest schedule for next week. Are y'all going to cut back here and try to repeat? Or we all had a record-setting year. And, yeah, I know inquiry minds want to know, you know, kind of what's in the future for True Bud. I know you and Boyd did all the contests. Every one of them, you had some other team members come to a lot of them and help. You know, you got another team member that kind of moved back up in the area. I mean, y'all going to stay in your normal realm? Are y'all going to venture out anymore? Or?
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, I don't, you know, when you say venture out more, what do you mean? Like go more
well,
south or?
Yeah.
Or
what do you ask? You know, I didn't know there's contests.
You know, it's tough to say, I guess. Depends, you know, we
We do have full-time jobs, Jim, so, you know, we can't just travel all over the countryside like, you know, some of these people. So, and actually we have, you know, it's unbelievable how, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's impossible to do. Well, you know, if you have a full-time job, well, I mean, you just have, you know, you can, anybody can do it. Actually, you just have to figure it out. I mean, I guess I can't say anybody could do it, but, you know, I actually, you know, I have a full-time job. I have my own business that I run. Boyd has his own business that he runs. You know, Christy goes to about every event. You know, she's got a full-time, she has a varied job, you know, and I think all of our full-time jobs are very demanding. It's just, you know, we just kind of, we make it work and take vacation. And, you know, one thing I guess you have to give, you know, you just have to give up things. You know, we gave up vacations and you know, our barbecues were our vacations. So, you know, we're kind of excited to be able to take a vacation in 2014 and not have to just do barbecues. So,
right.
You know, I guess it's just, it has to make sense for you, though, too. I mean, you know, you have to be committed to it. You know, if you can only do 10, then only do 10. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, you just have to do what's right for yourself, I guess.
Well, you know, a lot of people get caught up in it, and they get, they lose track of their jobs, and, you know, they
overextend
and get caught up in all of it. And, you know, what Tim's trying to say is you can make it work to a certain extent, but it, like you said, everybody's different with your jobs. You don't want to lose a good job or really any job over this. You know, you've got to try to make it work and do what you can to do it, but, you know, you still got to keep your daytime job, basically. And, you know, we've got a guy here in Georgia, he's good as gold, and he came out last year or 2 years ago and said, I can't do them more. I just don't have the money to do them, and wasn't doing overly well. I mean, he'd get a call every now and then, but, you know, just wasn't paying the bills. That's, you know, he's like, I got to buy out of it. And I think he's coming back this year to do a couple and see how he does. You know, he's been doing a lot of practice cooks and stuff, and well-liked guy and everything. But, you know, he did honorable thing. You know, he's got two small kids, and he backed away, and, you know, family comes first. So, you know, some people lose sight of that, and it's a sad thing. But, you know, it's pretty easy to get caught up into. So, you know, you just got to reel yourself in sometimes and what you can realistically do and how many you can do. So, but, I mean, y'all got a good outlook on it. Go ahead, boys.
I was just going to say, my family's really looking forward to me being home a little bit more. So, I mean, they go to the clothes contest, but, you know, they don't travel with us. So, my kids, I got an 11-year-old, a 14, and an 18. So the two younger ones, they're excited to kind of see me there at home a little more on the weekends.
Yeah,
I'll get to go to
a few
more. Go ahead.
I know Tim's got a youngin' too. What's your kid about? 15, Tim? 14, 15?
He's 15.
Yeah. I mean, that's an age there, you know, that they really look up to their, you know, the father, so to speak, you know. And, you know, does he come to many contests with y'all, or?
He comes to a few, but not this year. I mean, you know, it's basically the ones that are close. But, you know, this year, you know, he's a freshman in high school and started playing football, and he wrestles. And so, I mean, you know, when he was in eighth grade, those games were on, you know, like Monday night and Thursday nights. But, you know, now that he's in high school, the games are going to, you know, that's going to change a little bit. And, you know, all the varsity games and all the games like that are going to be on Friday nights and, you know, Saturdays, and so it's just that's going to be hard to compete with, you know.
Yeah, and there again, you know, you got to look at your family first. I mean, you got to look at actually how many you can do and kind of schedule around what your family's got going on and everything. My son played lacrosse, and I was there most of the time. That's why I wasn't doing much, you know, hardly any 2 or 3 years ago. And but now that he's graduated in college and not doing sports and stuff, it kind of makes it easier on us. And, you know, we don't have to sit there and watch him all the time. You know, he's he's a grown man now, so he can take care of himself, and you know, but it's nice to be home too sometimes and not do a competition and watch your kids play sports or do whatever you want, just spend time with them. I mean, I know y'all been gone a lot this year, and you know, like Boyd said, I think your family's glad that you're going to be home. They're going to have a full-time father for a little while anyway.
Yep, they are definitely looking forward to it. I'm actually sitting outside high school gymnasium right now. My kid's getting ready to play some basketball here in a little bit, so I'm going to be watching him play. So,
well, that's good. I'm happy for you, and we're all happy for you on the team of the year. And you know, I saw on my Facebook, we've got an announcement to make between three of us teams over here in the Southeast, and a lot of people have been want some info on some classes and stuff, and we kind of talked this past weekend about getting some things ironed out, and I never really wanted to do a class. I never thought I was, like, at that point, but the way that they put it is just like, well, we're going to try it this year and see how it goes, and, you know, it's probably going to be a one-time, you know, class deal with us, and we're going to do a few locations, but we're going to do a trifecta on classes and stuff, and you know, we're not gonna encroach too much in your area over there in Kansas, so we're not gonna go that far west. But you know, if you're in the area, you can always pop in and put in some good pointers and stuff on what we're doing wrong.
Jim, you and Jan need to come up here and cook here in the Midwest a little bit.
Well, you know, we're looking at a new RV, and there again, boy, you know, we have full-time jobs too, and you know, we may do that once or twice. We're gonna look into it, and you know, if we have an off week or we have 2 or 3 weeks off, we may come out there and do one that y'all are at and let y'all kick a Southern Boys butt again, and you know, Midwestern style, I guess. I mean, y'all came over here, so it's only right we have to come over there, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But now, did y'all, I mean, y'all came over here and cooked down here in the South, and everybody talks about flavor profiles and stuff. Did y'all change much on your food, or is it basically pretty much what y'all cook out in the Midwest?
Well, the one thing we did change, which now we look back and wish we hadn't changed, was our pork. So, you know, we got 31st this last weekend in pork, and you know, I don't know, we changed a different profile, cooked it different like we'd never cooked before, and, you know, tried a different sauce that we hadn't tried before, and I don't know, I just kind of wish that we'd have just done our normal cook, because, you know, I'm sure I could have got 31st cooking my own recipe, so, and just going with, you know, what we do back here in the Midwest. But so I guess we'll never know. But that's one thing we were just wishing, that we felt like we were so close to winning it. And I guess we'll never know. So that's what we did. We did change it, though.
Well, there's a lot of good pork teams. I mean, Jeremy won the pork up there at Cummins, and he didn't do worth a flip there. Several really good pork teams that do very well. Bubba didn't do very well. You know, he's usually, you know, top five in pork in Georgia just about every week. You know, not saying there's a bad table or anything, but, you know, it, you know, I'd been hammering ribs and got hammered in ribs up there, and we thought the ribs were pretty sporty. You know, it's just, you never know with these judges. And
right. And that's so, the thing, I guess, is you just, you know, and that's what I was saying. I mean, I don't know. You know, I guess that's why I was saying I think I could have got 31st, you know, cooking what we'd done all year long, you know. That was actually, you know, our worst pork score, not pork score, because we still, you know, if you look at the score, 167, that's still a good score. So, you know, I guess
right.
that's the thing that I really should be paying attention to. But the placing, that was the worst place we'd had all year. So, you know, well. You know, I'm definitely not complaining, so don't get me wrong. But, you know, it was just, that's the only thing we did different. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it showed or not. So if you look at the score, it didn't. So.
Well, you know, we've been doing decent in Fork in Georgia this year, and we won it. But, you know, it was, you know, Fork, we just, that was our number one thing, I think I even told you before awards, was that, you know, if Jan can't quit eating the pork, then I know it's pretty good. We usually do pretty well when that happens. So,
yeah.
You know, she's a good judge on the flavor profiles and stuff of the meat. She doesn't do the brisket, but she does the other three. And, you know, we were looking for a good score on pork. I mean, we've been hammering seconds and thirds out and just, you know, a couple firsts during the year, and we're like, you know, what does first place pork taste like? You know, so, I mean, you get to that point. But, you know, we were lucky enough to win it, and we hit a 177, which not like it was a 180, but, you know, you got 66 teams up there, and a lot of those landed teams up in that area, I mean, they just hammer you up there. But, you know, was it Full Belly Deli? Came down from Wisconsin, and he posted something out here earlier that judges from up there need to come down and take a class from the judges here, because they said you get, you know, more than about, you never get more than about 10 nines on appearance and stuff, and, you know, you can only make a box look so good, and, you know, they said they just have real trouble with them giving appearance scores, and I said, that's one of the, you know, non-subjective things you can do. You know, if it looks good in the box and ready to eat, then you need to give it a 9, you know. And the judges down here, a lot of them take classes from you know, different teams, and kind of gets the realm of how important it is to be very, you know, don't just throw a number out. Don't judge it. Don't just eat it. And, you know, the scores are picked up, and, you know, we don't want all nines by no means. Before you throw out a low score, you know, you got to realize the repercussions from that for the team. So, you know, they've got vested in this thing, but we still should swing the judges' score, but they don't need to be just throwing out a number, just throw out a number. And I mean, you're judging out there in the Midwest, is it pretty consistent, or, you know, get a TOD every now and then?
Oh, yeah.
I mean you know, you cook that many contests, you know, you're going to come across all kinds of stuff, you know, so I just hope they do something different when it comes to placing judges. You know, I guess I haven't really been as big on educating people. You know, I still think people need to be educated, but you know, I really think if they just kept track of the judges' scores and then just averaged out the tables, you know, because you can tell somebody, you know, what to do all day long, and, you know, that's always going to be a subjective to, you know, what they think. And it's just, you know, as long as if they were just to average out the tables, you know, so they just didn't get, you know, the guy that always averages a 27 or a 28, you know, they don't need six of them at one table, but, you know, put an average on the table, give an assigned seat to a judge when he comes in. You know, if you've got judges coming in the door that, you know, you didn't have scheduled to be there, well, they got a judging number and they have an average. So, you know, there's software that can easily fix that. So, I mean, it's just, okay, you go to table 11, seat number one. I mean, it's just, it's simple. So I just,
You know, you're not looking at names, you're looking at numbers. You know, they've got a judge number just like we got a team number. And, I mean, I agree 100% with you. You know, you can keep track of the team scores in all four categories, plus overall. You can keep track of the judge's scores throughout the whole thing, you know.
Absolutely.
And especially their average score. And like you said, if you got one that scores in a 26 and 28 consistently, then he needs to be somebody that's around a 33 or 34. You know,
yep.
You need to kind of have some type of balance.
It wouldn't be difficult at all.
No, it wouldn't. It really wouldn't. I mean, I know KCR thinks they opened up a whole can of worms, but it's actually a good tool to use so you don't have any TODs, you know, or you minimize them, and, you know, and it's judged more fairly. And, you know, some judges out there are just not going to give 9, no matter what. Well, if they're not going to give 9 no matter what, they don't need to be judging, you know. Because there's some really good teams out there cooking up some really good food, And, you know, they get hammered by that one judge. And, you know, if he don't like barbecue, he doesn't need to be judging. And then you get people in there that say, oh, we only get one bone of ribs, we don't get two. You know, there's your eaters right there. You know, they're just there to get a free meal. You know, us as teams, the amount of money we have and time invested in this, you know, we're just asking judges to judge it fairly and you know, take it seriously. Because we take it seriously to cook the food for them. But,
yeah, there's a lot of money invested, a lot of time, effort. I mean, just, you know, not only money, but the time and effort. I mean, what you're having to give up to do this. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I don't think people really think about that as far as when it comes to, you know, now I know there's a lot of judges out there that do an excellent job. We're just talking about these people that, you know, the few.
There's a few of them, the few, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, so it's, you know, it's, and it, but it's only a few that caught, you know, that can really tip the scales too. So, I mean, you know, those are the people we're talking about. You know, it's not, it's definitely not the majority for sure, but it's just, you know, it's just those people that, that something, you know, it just upsets the whole thing, so.
And, you know, if the teams now with the new scoring system, we can track a certain judge through there and look at it. You look at some teams that have done really well in categories and stuff, and you see how he compares to the other ones, and a lot of times he's still low. And it's those that, you know, they're not in the general population. Yeah, you need to have, you know, one kind of towards the bottom end of the spectrum and one at the top end, but, you know, it doesn't need to be so far low that he's just out of touch with the rest of the judges. And,
right.
You know, and if they're consistently doing that, then, you know, something needs to be done. You know, either you take them back to a... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I heard a story about he'd been a judge for years, and this is at a big-time prestigious contest where, you know, he quit judging halfway through it, and he was just handing out numbers, you know, and basically he was tired of eating. So, I mean, you know, I just, when I hear things like that, it's just seriously, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's just, How do we put ourselves in that position? But you know, that's pretty, you know, harsh to hear when you're a cook, and you know, I guess you just don't want to hear things like that.
I've got a story even better than that. I don't know if I should tell it now. I'm not gonna say who told me or whatever, but a master judge done 60-70 contest was actually in charge of the trays going to the judges. And when he got the brisket, he literally opened up a brisket box and took a burn end out and ate it before it went to the judging table.
Yeah, we know that. We were at that contest.
Oh, were you? So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, it's just, and nothing is guy. I mean, they say he's a great guy and everything, and, you know, but what would possess somebody to do that? You know, apparently it didn't hurt the appearance score or anything, but you hear some crazy stuff going on every now and then. But, you know, that was a very, 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 very isolated incident, and we just heard it through the grapevine. But, you know, really didn't have nothing to do with the judging, but the judges all scored it, you know.
That's not correct, Jim. It actually did have to do with the judging, because when he took the burn-in out of the box, that automatically he basically gave all nines to that box, because when he messed with it, the judges, the scores cannot, they can't do anything but give all nines to that box.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't know if it was all nines or not. So, I mean, you know.
Right.
He basically, you know, changed part of that, that team score, and you know, and that was a big time contest. That was a you know, a contest where every point mattered for people. So you know, it definitely, and like I said, we were at that contest, so it was definitely something that infuriated people.
Yeah.
But like you said, a master judge. What I mean, you know, he's
how much more training can you have?
Yeah.
And not just a 30 contest master judge. I mean, he had 60, 70 contests on his belt, plus table captains, all sorts of stuff. I mean,
it's unexcusable.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, number one, what would make somebody like that do something like that, number one? But number two, thinking he can get away with it when you got a whole room full of judges and, what, didn't think anybody would see him or what? I mean, it's just unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, was he that hungry?
Who knows?
But, you know, they reprimanded
him. You're going to get Tim all fired up all over again?
Yeah.
His blood pressure is going to start going up.
Well, Boyd, you're going to have to call me later so when we go to the banquet. I'll have some ammo to get Tim with and, get him to loosen up a little bit at least.
I got to admit, it takes
a little bit to loosen Tim up. He can be loosened up. It takes a little nudging, but, you know, Boyd and Travis, I mean, they're just right there.
You know what? Yeah, guys. You guys keep it up. Whatever. I mean, somebody's got to keep these guys in line.
Whatever.
So.
Yeah. Whatever. You know. We just have to.
He'll be loose at the awards. There'll be.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
It will be a good time.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tim brought this up at one of them. At the American Royale. You know, they have the dark side over there. I think Tim had mentioned to me at one time that, you know, they were part of the dark side. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. We started barbecuing in 02, and that's all we did. We had the biggest party over there. We had bands come in. Boyd was the first person out of the parking lot. You know, we still were cleaning up, and he was 50 miles down the road. But, none of us stayed around for awards. I mean, you know, we did that for like probably 02 to 06 or 07 or something like that. It was just we came out of that contest. I mean, it wasn't a contest. I mean, it was just, you know, a big party, and that's all we were doing, blowing all kinds of money. So it was we just got tired of it, and actually we were out of the parking lot. That's where we got our first call. We got 14th and Pork one year, and heck, Boyd was already home showered and probably taking a nap. And maybe we ought to stick around a little bit longer. And so it was kind of funny.
So Boyd, was he a little looser back then or what? Boyd.
I had my loose moments.
No, I mean, but was Tim a little looser back? Was Tim a little looser back then, or he just tightened up?
I don't know. I've always ever been that loose.
I've always been a hard ass, Jim. So, yeah, I'll be the first to admit it. So I got an agenda, and you know, I want us to be the best at everything. So whatever.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's. You know, and you were. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I think I asked Boyd at the Jack, and I said, I made a remark to Boyd. I think Travis was there too, and I think you'd gone inside the camper, and you know, you washed your pit off and all this other stuff, and looked at Boyd. I said, is he always this anal? And Boyd, both of them goes, is he? And I said, good, we're gonna have fun.
Yeah.
But no, it's great. We just ribbing on you, and you know, we just out to have a good time. And as you know, Jan loves to have a good time. And I just got to warn Boyd though, don't hook up with her at the damn banquet. You're gonna be in trouble.
Oh, we're gonna have a good time. I'm not gonna get on Jan's bad side. I heard the stories.
She's going to click over in a minute and defend herself, but I'm not going to defend her. She's going to click over here. I'm going to see her number. She just left to go somewhere, and I said she's still on the phone listening. So just to let you know, you got a little over a month to get your guard up.
Well, hey, Jim, I'm going to drop off. I've got, Christy's waiting on me to help her with something. So
that's fine. Tell her we said hey, and we missed her at the contest.
She missed you guys. So.
She would have had a good time. And we're going to have a good time with for the banquet.
Absolutely.
So, Boyd, you got to go in and watch your boys play some ball.
Yeah, and the basketball game's already started, so I need to get in there and look and watch him. So, I'm going to drop
out. Are you having Joe on?
Am I having who?
We enjoyed this weekend. Loved your hospitality.
I don't think Joe's back home yet. He called and said he could do it next Monday, but I think he was still trying to get his way home or something. He couldn't do it tonight. I was going to love to have him on there with y'all. So he could. But I do have a 615 number. But anyway, I'm glad y'all came on, and congratulations on the team of the year. And we'll definitely see y'all up at the banquet. And we'll give a shout-out to Sterling Ball from Big Papa Smokers for sponsoring y'all and, you know, showing y'all the way, I guess.
Absolutely. Couldn't do it without Sterling.
He's a great guy. Like I said, I probably should have just gone and done the California contest, but, you know, it's tough. Got to make decisions. But anyway, y'all take care and, you know, go do some stuff with your families now and get ready for next year.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks,
all right,
Jim.
Buddy, y'all take care. All right, Boyd. Y'all have a good Christmas, too. All right, buddy.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, we got a 615 number, 476. Who do we have? Is this Barry?
Hey, man. Oh, I didn't know I was
How
on.
You doing? Yeah,
I'm
you all.
finished up a little dinner. I'm doing great.
That's good. So, what have we got lined up for this year?
Oh, boy. Big news afoot, I hear.
Yeah.
I think it's time that we give a little something back anyway, and hopefully we can help people learn some things or learn a little different way to do things and hopefully help some scores. You know, I've been asked, I don't know how many times, you know, when are you going to do a class? When are you going to do a class? When are you going to do a class? Well, I think the right opportunity has presented itself, so we're going to do a class.
There you go. What Barry is talking about is what I've been posting out on Facebook today. Killer Bees, the Swinging Pig, and Q and Stew and Bruin are going to do a three-team class. It's going to be called the Southern Q Ultimate Barbecue Class. And Barry, back me up. We're going through recipes, meat selection, doing your boxes, flavor profiles, recipes, the whole nine yards, techniques. And it's going to be three teams doing it. We're all doing our own. We're going to do a competition-style cook. We're going to do it on the timelines of a competition, and we're going to give y'all three different pitmasters' views on it and hopefully increase the awards that other teams that will get when they take our class. It's a hell of a value for what you're getting, and, you know, I think between us, I don't know how many grands we won this year. It's close to, you know, 25 to 28 grand this year between the three of us. I think we figured up earlier we won almost between three of us almost $250,000. Is that right?
I think that's about right. Total prize money.
So that's just this year. And me and Barry have just started cooking on the new Southern Q limo this year. And that's what we've done on it this year. So, you know, Scott's one of our big sponsors, and it's fitting to call it the Southern Q Ultimate Barbecue Class. Like I said, we're going to do, I think we're looking at five classes. We're going to try to nail three of them down. this week and get it out as soon as possible to teams and people to go out there and get in the class. I've already had, I think I've got 19 confirmed students right now at the closest class to me. So we are, do you want to tell them where we're going to have them at, or?
Fill it up fast. We're looking at the first three locations, somewhere in the Charlotte area, somewhere in the Atlanta area, and somewhere in the Middle Tennessee area, for the first three that are going to roll out probably starting about the third week in January through the middle to last part of February. And we're going to try to get those three in before everybody starts cooking. And we've got a lot of cooks in the Southeast, and of course, that's where, all this area here is where all the people that I know that have talked to me about classes have asked about. So we're trying to cover as much territory, I think, as we can and get people as close as we can to where they can get out and see what we got to offer. I think it's going to be I know there's nothing else like it's ever been done. And it's going to be three different perspectives that ultimately turn out basically the same product. And I think that's the big deal. You know, the end result's the big deal. It really doesn't matter how you get there. It matters how it comes out. And so we all approach it a little differently. And it all works. So, you know, as my grandmother used, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And we're going to try to help people with that.
Well, this is the first class that I know of. A lot of people, other people have teamed up. They're both cooking on Jambos, or they're both doing this, both doing that. We're actually got a low and slow, hot and fast, and everything in between class. I mean, for every type you could think of. And Scott Smith is on the line now. You're on the air now, Scott. But, it offers something to everybody. And somebody may not cook hot and fast, but you can take those notes and then concentrate on me and Barry, and then vice versa. You got so many people out there cooking hot and fast now, they can't do low and slow. So they're going to look at Scott.
They let you cut that money muscle away next year. Scott Smith did cook a money muscle in 4.5 minutes.
Yeah,
that's it.
And I mean, seared it, and it was good. 12 minutes. So Scott, how do you feel about it?
I love it. I love everything. I've listened to the whole show tonight, and congrats to True Bud there again. And I'm telling you, I think we've stumbled onto something with this class. It's going to just rock the world. I think we may be the next Duck Dynasty boys. I'm telling you.
Well, we probably act like them, that's for damn sure. The thing, and we discussed this earlier, and Randall Bowman's first one pointed me out, for all the teams listening, I mean, if you're going for Team of the Year in KCBS, you're going to have to come through the Southeast to get it. There is no doubt. Just ask Three Eyes, True Bud, Warren County, Munch and Hollywood Hilton, Pellet Envy, all of them. You have to come through Georgia and Florida to get the Team of the Year. And
these recipes
and techniques are working all over the Southeast. They worked in Arkansas for me. We're 2013 Sam's Club champion out in the Midwest, whatever you want to call it. So these flavor profiles work everywhere. And
they're all over the board. I mean, Barry's had good results in Florida, and I've been in Indiana with mine. I know Barry's been all over Tennessee and Alabama and down in Mississippi.
So you've been out in the World Food Champ. Were you in Nevada a couple contests this year and did very well out there?
Never left the top 10. I cooked two in Nevada ones. We were 5th in Vegas and 10th in Laughlin. But I think the profiles work everywhere. You just have to apply yourself, and I think we got a good thing going.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think we've done 32 sanctioned barbecue contests this year. I think 33, but I'm going to cut it down to 32. And in all 32 of those contests, we had never placed out a top 10 overall in any contest. And you look at some of the contests we've done with Tryon with 98 teams, Greenwood 78 teams, The Paslin 66 team, Southbury 75, Shelby 75 teams. These are all 300-plus contests. We had never placed out a top 10. And I'm telling you, for the people that want to take a one class and be done with it, it costs about as much as it would one full competition. You could have three great pit masters, recipes, techniques, timelines, everything. And be on the road to success. I mean, you can't beat it. I mean, I don't think there's a better value out there in barbecue. And, you know, we got a lot of teams. I mean, we were SBN Team of the Year. I mean, these – and they work in different sanctioning bodies, too, with FBA, SBN, SCBA, GBA. You know, they work in all the sanctioning bodies, too. So it's not just KCBS. Even though we will be doing KCBS meet, KCBS timelines, you know, you're going to have 12 different recipes to try out and work on.
That's true. And also, Jim, throw in there, they're going to have two totally different cooking styles with what I do compared to you guys. So there's going to be a little curve in there. I mean, I think it's something somebody can adapt to, whether they're hot, fast, low, and slow, or somewhere in between with as big of a difference as there is between me and you and Barry.
Well, I think, too, a big thing that, you know, I'd like to get across to everybody, you know, what works for me, what works for you all may not necessarily work the first time on your cooker or your setup or anything like that. I mean, it's not, you know, we can't come out and hand it to you and you go win the next week. I mean, there's some work that has to be done, and I think that has to be done with everybody. You know, I took class. You know, the only class I've ever had was Mike Davis' class, and it was awesome. He taught me a whole lot. He taught me how to win. And I owe just about everything to Mike Davis, and I don't make any bones about that. And, you know, but it took me nearly a year after I had his class to get it right. You know, so I think it's an ongoing process, and I learn something every week.
Well, you know, you still have to cook the meat. We discussed this earlier, you know. We say, why do you want to give it all up? The bottom line is you still have to cook the meat to the proper tenderness and texture and everything. We're giving you the tools to get you beyond that. You know, we're giving you the flavor profiles and stuff that's been working for us. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're probably not going to be that far off on flavor profiles. But there's different ways you get to that. And, you know, Johnny and Rod did a great job. And, you know, Rod's was simple. Johnny's was complicated. But at the end of the day, you couldn't hardly tell the two apart. You know, it's just how you get to that final product. And that's what I think this class is going to do so well, is because, you know, the final product is just going to be, you know, pretty much the same. But like Scott said, it'll be two totally different or three totally different cooking styles. So there's something for everybody in there. And, you know, that's what we're looking forward to. You know, we want to get out and preach barbecue, and hopefully teams will take it to the limit and, you know, start winning some money.
I'm certainly excited about it and, you know, looking forward to some dates pinned down and some locations pinned down and go from there. But, you know, I think it's a great thing and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, so you know, I'm all in with both of you. I'm looking forward to it too. I've been lucky enough to do a couple of classes in the past, and I think with the powerhouse that we're going to bring, it's just going to be phenomenal to anybody that takes it. And I think that if they can't walk away with knowledge of barbecue from the three of us, I think it's going to be totally different than anything that's ever hit here. So I believe we've got a good thing going, and I'm very excited about it.
You know, I had several people had already talked to and everything. One guy asked me, so how are you going to get that much information to, you know, the people? Now so it's up to them. I said, we're not going to race through this thing. We're going to answer all the questions. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people in class, but we're going to answer all the questions we can. And, you know, if you keep questions down during the class, come back after class or towards the end, we're going to have a Q&A session after each break that we do and make sure people have it. And, you know, I think between the three of us, we can handle just about any questions thrown at us. And
I agree. I think if we're cooking, I can be checking cookers and doing things while one of you guys are doing something, vice versa with all three of us. I think we can answer every question there, and then they can make notes on the other questions at the end. I think it's going to be a win-win for anybody that takes the class.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the information, the amount of information you get. And I told him, I said, the only thing I can say is bring two pens and sharpen your pencil. Because I said, it's going to be a lot going on, and, you know, we want to make sure everybody gets all the info that we've got to give them, and they have all the weapons in the arsenal to compete. And the other beauty about doing it is, you know, we're doing it at a time when there's not a whole lot of competitions going on. So, number one, we're not going to get you to drop a competition, come do our class. Number two is we're not going to drop a competition, come go do a class, hopefully. But number three is you're going to have time before the real season starts to implement these practices that we do and have time to practice them and get them finalized. And you're going to want to make them your own, pretty much. I mean, everybody does. So you got to do what works for you on your smoker. And this gives you the time to practice and iron out the wrinkles in it, so to speak. And another thing, too, is, you know, with the amount of gravity-fed smokers going out there, I really don't know of anybody else doing a class with a gravity-fed other than a local class. You know, we're talking, we want this thing to go nationwide virally and get people in here to, some people have Jambo, some people have Backwoods, some people have this, pellet smokers or whatever. But I don't know if too many people have done if anybody has done a KCBS on class with either a water pan smoker or a gravity fed. And that's going to reach out to a lot of teams.
I agree, because I think between the three of us, we can answer most of the questions.
And we're getting excited about this. We're going to finalize probably somewhere around Wednesday some dates and times and venues and get them finalized and ironed out as soon as we can so we can get the information out to the people, to the teams or the people that want to come in and take it. You don't have to be a competition cook to come take this class. I mean, you come take this class, you're going to cook the best barbecue you ever have in your entire life. And you know, and who knows, you know, if it gets to where you want to compete, then you've got the weapons to do it. And that's what we're targeting this thing for. And we will be posting the price of the class out, unless y'all want to tell them what it is. And, you know, if you want to bring a spouse, it's half of what the normal cost is. And, you know, like I said, I think people are going to get a real bargain with this class with three well-known pit masters and the conference. Accomplishments that we've had lately, and I think it's going to help a lot of people.
I agree with you there, and just to praise you guys both. I mean, you're two-time team of the year for the SBN, and then third in the country this year with the KCBS and the Sam's winner. And Barry and I have both been in the top 25 KCBS 3 years straight running. Which was there, and we had I think Barry and I talked about it today, and they'll get their money's worth, and I hope we nail it all down very soon and get these dates out. I know there's a lot of people excited. I've had phone, text, and Facebook messages half the evening, and I didn't even post it. They were reading your posting, and I think three or four other people already shared that link.
Yeah.
And Mitchell was one of them that shared it, but, yeah, we've had several texts and phone calls. I had a text just now while I was on the phone, and I had it on speaker and pulled it away and looked at it just to see if somebody's wanting to know where they're at already. So I think it's going to work out great for everybody.
Well, I have too, and the interesting thing, the phone calls I've got are from people who I don't even think need it. They're as good as I am, in my opinion. So So you know that says something right there that you know, when you've got a lot of good cook teams that are taking a really hard look at this, makes me feel really good about what we're doing.
So I just got two texts on my phone while you were talking, and they were wanting to know the price. So the price will be, it's like I said at the beginning of the program, the price is the cost of one whole competition, what it costs you in fuel, meats, rubs, sauces, you know, the whole nine yards. The price we set it at was $1,000 per person. If you want to bring your wife, it's $500 extra. Main reason because, you know, we have limited seating. Even though there's a lot of seats, but it's going to be limited. And, you know, we feel like for $1,000 for three professional cooks that's done very well in KCBS this year, that's a bargain. You're looking at paying $335 per cook that's there, and that's, you know, that's a hell of a bargain.
What'd you make Arkansas Bird? $50,000 1 week?
50 times
investment back day one.
That's right. Well, you know, some other accomplishments we had for you North Carolina teams is we were second in the Old North Series in North Carolina. We were second in the Western North Carolina Series. You know, so these flavor profiles that I'm talking about work in South Carolina. We've already won two contests in South Carolina. We've already got four draws for the Jack for next year. And, I mean, these are recipes you should be able to get immediate results.
Barry, you won the Alabama Trail this year, correct?
Won the Alabama Governor's Cup. We did not six Alabama contests. The worst we did in the six contests was third. We had three grands, two reserves, and a third in Alabama this year. And won the Alabama Governor's Cup by about, 350 points.
I know Jim and I both see you didn't run the Georgia because you didn't do the number of contests, but Jim and I think set in second and third, and we beat each other up for the last few contests, passing each other, and I think Jim wound up picking over second, and I'll be third, but it works in Georgia, and there again, Jim's already on there with the South Carolina, North Carolina, and we know that it's working, so I'm excited about it, just to give everybody a little credit there, and
I think the dozens of perfect scores between us justified any cost that's involved in this, period.
That's true. I mean, we've all had multiple 180s. Barry's had three in brisket just in the last 4 months, and all three of us are in the 700 club this year. I agree with you. I think it's there.
Well, the other thing too, how many 700s have we had this year? I mean, it's just phenomenal when you get to 700. We've had two. I know Scott's had a couple. You know, it's that right there speaks in volumes right there.
The week we were in Rome, Barry, I think he hung a 700 in Coleman, didn't you, Barry?
I did.
Yeah. We've all
done so, 700 in Coleman with a 180 chicken.
So how many pitmasters have got that many 700s in one class? I mean, it's just when in different states, you know. I had one in North Carolina, one in Arkansas. So, you know, like I said, these flavor profiles and recipes and the timelines, they work. I mean, ask Jeremy Moore, who's got his first grand because of a Southern Q smoker in my timeline. Now, granted, he had to cook the food and all that, but, you know, the Southern Q family kind of sticks together. And so, you know, we're there to help. And that's what this question is.
It wasn't like he came in coming Georgia and beat up on the second team either. You know?
No.
that was a very, very tough field in coming.
Yes, it was.
As tough there as it was this past weekend. I mean, it was an impressive field. But, you know, he took what we gave him, and he ran with it. He wrote everything down and did it to a T, and you see where he came out of. And, you know, we're very happy for Jeremy and everything. And, you know, we look forward to him being on the Southern Q team and It's going to be an impressive class. You know, the more we start talking about it, the more excited I started getting about it. And like I said, my Facebook and text has lit up the last hour, hour and a half, ever since I posted it. So it's going to be pretty impressive.
I'm glad all the information's on the table now. I'll get a post out at some point today and probably again tomorrow. But at least we've got it all on the table and we know where we're headed, and we can let everybody else know where we're headed. And I look forward to the journey. I mean, I think we're going to have some great times. We're going to go see some great towns and meet probably a lot of great new cook buddies and cook teams. And that's another thing it's all about, is just the party of it. So it's like you were talking about that article that Tim Swobelly Deli wrote. No, he hadn't been to a barbecue contest undoubtedly until he showed up at Calhoun last week, and he found out what Southern hospitality was and what a group of guys do together and pull for one another and help one another.
And I think Jim Scott and I discussed a couple things today before we talked to you that we kind of got something fun maybe planned too when we work out the details, maybe just so we can get a little competitive spirit going amongst the class attendees.
I have a feeling it's going to be something special planned. Yeah, the class judging us. I see where this is going. So you don't have to go too far. I kind of feel you. You know, we're all competitive by nature, and
kind of like you know from the old movie Top Gun. You want to know who best is? Well, take a look around. You know.
There you go. But, yeah, we've already gotten a lot of positive response. A lot of people already ready to join in and get going on this thing. And like I said, we are going to post a lot of information out here shortly so that, you know, it makes great Christmas presents and also New Year's presents. So, but now we're gonna have some good information out here shortly to all of our listeners, and just give us a chance to get a few things ironed out. And we want to kind of get some feedback from some people, you know, when we post it out, how well it'll be receptive, and it's very receptive. So, you know, we're moving forward with this thing.
You know, I'll say this, and I can't speak for you two, but I can speak for myself. I would not be today where I am today had it not been for a place. And I believe that, and I'll say that and leave it at that, because I think it not only does it shorten the learning curve, but you get a real sense of kind of what other people are doing, and then if you know what's working, if you can make your food remotely taste like that, you got a shot.
Exactly.
I agree. I took a class also, and I agree with the learning curve. Not only that, I was able to cook with a team or two in the past, and I've cooked with both of you guys, and both of you guys have been with me, but I'm the same way. I think the class does awesome.
I mean, I wouldn't be where I'm at without the class I took. And, you know, it's amazing because we've taken classes with three different pit masters, and to see where we made it work in our area and on the smokers we have. Because I know Scott cooks on the same one that his mentor does. But I know me and Barry's changed up. But, you know, I owe a lot to, you know, the smoker that Scott built us. I mean, if you look at the consistency we have out of the smokers, it's unbelievable. So, you know, I just can't say enough about the smokers we've got. You know, they're very consistent cooking. And I think that is a... that is what really helped us, you know, catapult this year up to where we were at, consistency.
I can't even, but I can feel his head swelling now, Jim.
I was going to go out and get a chew out of the truck. Can't get my head out of the door.
But it's funny. But it really, truthfully, it's helped me a lot. And, you know, he'd built one, you know, that I cooked on before, and it was a little smaller. But when he stretched out to that limo model, it created a whole new airflow and cooking surface that, you know, I'm just there. I mean, it's what you need. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some other things going on in the classes. We've got several of our sponsors on board with this thing. They are very excited about it. And we'll let y'all know who all those are when we finalize the details and, you know, expect goodie bags. And, you know, we're not going to kick you out the door and say, go buy it. We're going to be setting a few things up with some of our sponsors and, you know, help you get you on your way. So, like I said, we're looking forward to it. We're going to have it posted out on.
If you can get that deal where it was forward, where everybody gets the F-150 when they leave, I think we'll have a better response.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would.
So we're working on that. No problem.
Yeah, I hadn't contacted them yet, but, you know, well, I'll get on that tomorrow. No biggie. But anyway, it was good for y'all to come on and talk about the class. And I know by this time next Monday, we're going to have all the details ironed out, at least on the first three classes, and probably have a couple other possible dates and places set up maybe by then or maybe after, and who knows. But, you know, these first three are going to go out the door first, and I think it's going to be a big hit.
Jim, thank you, man. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and looking forward to you guys, you know, being with you. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time. I think everybody's going to learn something and take a lot away from it. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to learn something. I hope.
I look forward to working with everybody too, and having a good time, because I think I can also learn several things. But I really look forward to it, and I really look forward to the three of us doing it. And I appreciate it. I know Southern Q will, and everybody that takes it, I think, is going to get a lot of appreciation out of it. So I'm excited for everybody.
Like I said, bring a big notebook, because there's going to be a lot of info. Three different teams. So we're glad to have you all on the show and shed some light on this, and look forward to next week. And like I said, we'll come back with some dates and times and, you know, venues, and so everybody can make their reservation.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much. You all have a good
You too.
Yep. Thanks, Jim. See y'all, bud.
All right, Scott. Bye-bye. That was Scott Smith from Q&Stew and Brewing, and Barry Johnson from Swig and Pig. Two more of some really winning barbecue teams out there on the road, and looking forward to doing this class with them. It's going to be like nothing else that anybody's ever seen. So, you know, get in on their entry level and get your spot reserved. Well, this is Jim Berg. I'm going to put a shout-out to my sponsors, Big Daddy's Bar and Grill, Royal Oak, Southern Q Smokers, Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills. Got Wicked Q, we've got Butcher Barbecue, Springer Mountain Farms, and a new one coming on board, BarbecueSuperstores.com, and look forward to having them on in 2014. So looking forward to it. And as far as for Jim Berg, Killer Bees, we're over and out.
greatest night in the history of my life. I just want to say one thing. Yo, Adrian, I did it!